Hi, this is Kenny Kramer, the real Kramer, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA. And as Cosmo would say, giddy up.
Hello, WGXC listeners. This is Matthew Winnie Harrington, assistant member of WGXC Radio Group. Camp Hill Hudson is hosting monthly community dinner on Tuesday, February 6th at 5:30 p.m. in Solaris Building, 360 Warren Street. Come experience community, meet new people and old friends over a refreshing prepared meal made by local volunteers. Everyone is invited, and no one will come turn away. We will be glad to see you there. Please bring a friend.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the community theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Mayuko Fujino in Copaic, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, March the 15th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. Minnesota is among the states taking a closer look at extending unemployment benefits to workers who go on strike.
A bill making its way through the legislature would make workers involved in a walkout of at least 1 week eligible for jobless benefits. Labor economists say in the past year there's been positive movement with wage growth. However, backers of Minnesota's plan point to major gaps between corporate profits and the pay most workers receive. And when those individuals want to fight for fair compensation, Jake Schweitzer of the left-leaning think tank North Star Policy Action says they're at a big disadvantage in taking on ownership.
They can use their considerable profits to engage in bad faith negotiating tactics and simply wait out their poorly paid workers.
During labor disputes, Schweitzer says providing unemployment benefits alleviates hardships and empowers workers to keep fighting. Critics cite the potential costs and disincentivizing people to work. I'm Mike Bowen.
And the federal judge overseeing former President Donald J. Trump's prosecution on charges of mishandling classified documents on Thursday rejected one of the motions seeking to have the case dismissed. That from the New York Times. They note this is the first time that Judge Cannon has denied a legal attack on the indictment. In a two-page order, the judge rebuffed arguments by Trump lawyers that the central statute in the indictment, the Espionage Act, was impermissibly vague and should be struck down entirely. That decision followed a nearly day-long hearing in a federal court in Fort Pierce, Florida. And New York state lawmakers are considering a measure that would shake up the way Long Island's power grid operates.
The Long Island Power Authority Public Power Act would make LIPA the sole operator of the grid, ending the long-standing public-private model. Residents feel this model has made communication between ratepayers and their power company inefficient. Ryan Madden with the Long Island Progressive Coalition says the status quo creates something akin to a game of unnecessary telephone.
For example, an issue is raised and it's brought from either the LIPA board or LIPA staff brings it to the LIPA board. It then has to be passed along to PSE&G. PSE&G takes weeks, months in order to come back. Then they have to bring in the Department of Public Service of Long Island.
In 2023, numerous groups from Long Island and the Rockaways called for an end to this model, and customers have expressed concerns about how Long Island Power responds to bad weather. After Superstorm Sandy, PSE&G replaced the Long Island Power Company, which people felt mishandled power restoration to the area. Residents have a similar feeling for how PSE&G dealt with the aftermath of Tropical Storm Isaias. The bill is under review by the Assembly's Corporations, Authorities, and Commissions Committee. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
A 2023 study finds a fully public Long Island grid could save ratepayers $500 million over the next decade. This is Public News Service. In the thick of Alabama's legislative battles and with election season peaking, a surge of controversial bills is sparking concern among civic groups.
Alabama Values Progress is one of the groups voicing opposition to bills that it says aims to restrict voting assistance and penalize the removal of Confederate monuments. Others would criminalize protest and limit diversity initiatives in the state. Anisha Hardy with Alabama Values Progress highlights the impact of disinformation as another key concern.
That threatens the very fabric of our democracy. And often say that one way to keep groups disempowered is to create barriers to information. Information about the power that they have, but then also information about how these issues really impact them.
As an example, she says nearly 6,000 Montgomery County voters were given incorrect voting information, mistakenly told they were in the 7th Congressional District instead of the newly formed 2nd District, which was created to provide more fair representation for Black voters as mandated by the U.S. Supreme Court in the case Allen versus Milligan. Shantia Hudson reporting.
And as we inch closer to the 2024 U.S. presidential election, experts are discussing the dangers posed by artificial intelligence and disinformation during elections.
In Utah, legislation could mandate disclaimers when AI is used in political ads. The bill's sponsors hope it'll lead to increased voter awareness. Shauna Broussard is a commissioner with the Federal Election Commission and contends disclosure efforts are an effective way to inform voters, but not infringe on First Amendment rights.
There's a big controversy that deals with First Amendment rights when you're dealing with speech, and particularly when dealing with political speech. But one thing that the courts have said that when it comes to disclosure, disclaimers are still okay.
Broussard says while a number of states have passed AI-related legislation, it should be regulated at the federal level. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Finally, from our Tremell Gomes, as siblings in foster care, the fear of being separated is daunting. But thanks to a loving family in Jacksonville for two brothers in Ohio, that bond remains unbroken.
Despite Dalton's cerebral palsy and numerous medical challenges, Brother Dawson became his devoted caregiver. The two were adopted by Robin and Stephen Bridges through the nonprofit Wendy's Wonderful Kids, and they've become a beacon for disability awareness. Now at 15, Dawson says he's grateful for his parents' support in keeping them together through it all as he continues to care for his brother.
He is the most amazing brother a man could ask for. He has a incredible smile that will just brighten your day instantly. I'm just blessed to have him in my life. That's all I can say.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported last month that the Republican National Committee unveiled its 2024 Bank the Vote campaign to encourage Republicans to vote early and by mail to mobilize elderly and disabled GOP voters. Well, never mind. After firing 60 RNC staffers last week, Donald Trump's handpicked leadership will reportedly drop the Bank the Vote program, according to the Washington Post. The RNC will instead create an election integrity unit headed by no less than notable election denier Christina Bobb, a former OAN host, Dominion Voting Systems defendant, and Trump lawyer embroiled in his classified documents case. A new RNC lawsuit was filed in Michigan Wednesday, and suits were filed in Mississippi and Arizona earlier this year. The RNC's Michigan complaint argues voter fraud is very real in Michigan. Several recent elections have suffered from voter fraud. Since 2006, there have been only 16 voter fraud convictions among 34.9 million Michigan ballots cast, according to the Conservative Heritage Foundation. Democracy Docket counts 23 active lawsuits in which the RNC is engaged, including mail-in voting, voter ID requirements, voter registration rules, and other anti-voter challenges. Not surprisingly, the majority of those suits are in battleground states like Michigan. We have links to articles and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Find out where the music takes Lego Belt on the next Deep Threes when he remixes music made on a rainy weekend. Cinema Purdue visits a busy train station. And Mark Peters relaunches a project on a larger scale. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Capitol Streets began building a movement to transform the Capitol region's streets almost a year ago. Coming up on their one-year anniversary, we invited Capitol Streets to speak with us about this milestone, reflect on the past, and look into the future. And I'm now joined by Executive Director James Rath. Welcome back to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thanks for having me. I've been told I have a face for radio, so I'm glad to be here.
As a pretty new organization, let's introduce the mission. What is Capitol Streets? Could you tell our listeners a bit?
Yeah, so we're a 501c3 nonprofit. We're about a year old, and we're focused on fighting for more walkable, bike-friendly, and transit-oriented communities throughout the Capitol region. We are really pushing for cities to reimagine these spaces that have only kind of been designed for cars into being places that actually serve the communities more. They're more equitable, to build them to be more equitable, to build them to be safer, to have better impacts on public health, to be able to fight climate change. I think they're the biggest public spaces in every city are the streets. And so they're really a huge opportunity that I think often goes overlooked to actually have an impact.
What has the last year been like for Capitol Streets? And are there particular communities, you know, where the public officials really embrace the idea we need to transform our streets, and are some communities are like, we really like automobiles?
Well, the past year has been great. I mean, it's really been more successful than I could have asked, to be honest. We launched in March of 2023, so we're just coming up on a year, and we're going to have a year celebration that I think we'll talk about a little bit later. We've been able to go from a bunch of people just volunteering, working towards this common goal, to having the funding to bring me on as staff. And we just actually hired our second staff member. So we doubled our capacity. We're super excited. And we actually have an intern joining us now as well. That results in just having a lot more of an impact. And answering the second part of your question, I mean, I think a lot of different communities sometimes get it. Maybe they get it when it's a little bit easier, but we don't have like necessarily a city, I would say, where the leadership is really gung-ho about complete streets and all the great things that come with it. It's sort of done kind of on a piecemeal level, or even when they pass a really ambitious plan or adopt a really ambitious plan, we're seeing that it becomes a little challenging for them to kind of stick to that plan and stay committed.
So you were telling me before how your organization kind of acts as a watchdog. Can you talk about how, like, that function and relationship?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of relates to what I was just saying. And I should clarify, too, that, you know, we're focused mainly solely on the Capitol region. So we use the four counties as our area of focus. But right now, as a new organization, we're really dialed in on the urbanized areas in Albany and in Troy and kind of the Hudson River corridor in between. When we're talking about being a watchdog for public projects, we're watching these. Oftentimes they're, you know, described as engineering projects or planning projects, but really anything focused on roadways. And we know the kind of status quo is they, you know, these entities, public entities, whether it's DOT or it's a local municipality, has kind of been able to go through this process without people really being aware of it or kind of going at their own pace. And so now that we're up and running, we're saying, hold on a second, are these communities actually aware of how this project is going to impact them? Because we've watched with most of these projects, the people who are trying to travel through the corridor as quickly as possible, whether that's to get to work or run an errand, are kind of being put before the people who live on that corridor. And we see that constantly. So when we're being a watchdog, we're seeing these projects pop up. We're getting the word out to the communities that are going to be the most affected. And then we're also helping them understand, this is going to impact your quality of life. This is going to impact how your children might get to school. It's going to impact how noisy it is on your block. It might impact the air quality. And I think those are things that people might not think about when they think about an intersection getting redone or a lane widening project or something like that.
So one of my friends, Andy Beers, recently put together this 500-mile Empire State bike trail. Has that had a sort of an educational positive impact in local communities beginning to think a little bit better about how can we redesign sort of our transit routes?
Yeah, so you're referencing the Empire State Trail, which is an amazing project. I mean, super ambitious. Yeah, shout out to Andy Beers. Shout out to Jeff Olson for getting that project done. Lindsay Zefting. Really amazing project. And we've watched, you're right, we have watched that kind of change, I think, make kind of a light bulb going off moment for, especially for communities like, East Greenbush, for example, where maybe the economic development impacts of having a trail weren't so clear. But having the state take this ambitious project and actually bring it to fruition, it's been transformative for that community, especially folks that live on the trail or live close to the trail, I should say.
So you mentioned the one-year anniversary, and that is coming up on which date? And can you give us details on, there's a band playing, it's downtown on Lark Street.
Yeah. Yeah, so our one-year anniversary party is 2 weeks away. It's on March 27th, Wednesday. It's going to be from 6 p.m. to around 9:30 p.m., and it's at Lark Hall. We're going to have just a social happy hour type meetup in the beginning, and then we're going to give some announcements around 7 o'clock, describe a little bit more in detail of like what we've been doing for the past year and where we really see ourselves going as we grow. And then there's just going to be a party afterwards. So we have a band called Boss Crowley playing. We've got a DJ from Z1000. So really excited to bring the community together. We have a little bit of a saying that we're serious when we need to be, but we have fun when we can. This is going to be a fun event for sure.
I know there is a separate group that has been talking about how do we reimagine, redesign, 787. Is that something that your group also interacts with?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a member of the Albany Riverfront Collaborative, which is that group that you're referencing. We're very happy and proud. I should have had my Albany Riverfront Collaborative pin on right now, but we're super happy to be standing with them and pushing for that transformation. I mean, that's probably going to be the biggest project in most of our lifetimes, transportation project in the Capital Region, and making sure that DOT handles this opportunity properly, and then that project actually impacts the communities that are there in the most equitable way, I think is super important and something that the folks at the Albany Riverfront Collaborative are paying attention to. So yeah, very happy to be a part of that collaborative.
So on your website, there's a list of many things that you're involved in. Looking as we're marking this 1 year and looking ahead, what are some of the projects that are maybe most prominent in the view of your organization? And what are some goals for the year ahead?
Yeah, so the biggest ones right now, we are definitely closely watching 787 project. We're anxiously waiting for DOT to put out some more information. They said somewhat vaguely that it's going to be happening in the springtime. Similarly, they're working on the Trim and Nance Bridge connection in South Troy, which is a super important commuter route on Route 378 bridge for some people. So we've been really active in following that project and watching it move on now. Route 2 in Troy, Congress and Ferry Street, is a huge one, and we just found out that the feds awarded some funding to the cities of Troy and Waterville to redo the Congress Street Bridge, which is massive. It's a project that I've worked on closely when I was a planner for the city of Troy, so really excited to see that moving forward. And then the big one right now that we're really in a battle about is Manning Boulevard in Albany, which is, it's a fairly well-off community. It's a super important connection kind of going across town, right? We have these like big uptown downtown connections in Albany. We don't have many of these crosstown connections, and so we're really trying to get the city of Albany, who's put out a final quote unquote final concept, to reconsider some of the shortcomings of that concept and to make it actually safer for people to walk and bike on the corridor and to really keep the drivers who are zooming through there in check. You know, I don't want to demonize them. I think it's easy for people to just think about, you know, having to get to work quickly or whatever. And that's why it's really important that we design our roadways to, you know, prevent that.
So we'll be asking James to come back to talk about electric vehicles as well, the Capitol streets. And we think he has some interesting angles that you would maybe also have some ideas about. The website?
Yeah, capitalstreets.org. Check us out there. You can donate to the organization. You can find out more information about you know, what we do and see more details on our anniversary party, too.
Thank you so much, James Rath.
Thank you.
It's morning, time to wake now. Your body and mind entwined, we'll have to break now. But I want your flesh, your warmth to stay beside me. Oh, how I wish you could be deep inside me. Show me your eyes, your love, most tender feelings, and I'll give you mine. Be truthful and revealing, 'cause it's you that I love, and it's true that I love. It's love not given lightly, but I knew this was love, and it's you that I love, and it's more than what it might be. When we're alone, I cannot always face you. Maybe my mood won't let these arms embrace you. But that doesn't mean my love somehow diminished. Give me the time to show our love's unfinished. 'Cause it's you that I love, and it's true that I love, and it's love not given lightly. But I knew this was love, and it's you that I love, and it's more than what it might be. I need your body, your mind, and your emotions. Shed me your tears till I drown in your oceans. 'Cause it's you that I love, and it's true that I love. It's love not given lightly, but I knew this was love, and it's you that I love, and it's more than what it might be. His mother, this isn't easy. I might not write another, but it's you that I love, and it's you that I love, and it's more than what it might be. That I knew this was a love, and it's you that I love, and it's love not given lightly. 'Cause it's you that I love, and it's true that I love, and it's love. Love, and it's you that I love, and it's more than what it.
take the rain. I will be waiting. I remember. I will be waiting here forever. Who will take the day? Who will bring the night? I will be waiting. I remember. I will be waiting here forever. 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 The rain. Who will bring the night? Who will take the day? I will be waiting. I'll remember. I will be waiting here forever. I will be waiting. I'll remember. I will be waiting here forever. 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 Forever.
this is all about. Yeah, you know there is no truth at all. While anarchy's about, shout it out. You know we're just potential. There's subatomic.
is cruel and people are strange. I want to close my eyes. I want to close my mind. Like life is nothing at all, I will think small. Like life is nothing at all. Nothing will scare me in my sleep. It won't matter if I'm strong or weak. I want to close my eyes. I want to close my mind. Like life is nothing at all, I will think small. Like life is nothing at all.
Da 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 da.
Walk past the boat ship.